College campuses across Michigan are pretty quiet today as all 15 public universities in the state have canceled classes and prepare to go online in concerns about the spreading coronavirus. This is Lisa Berry, and here to talk more about that is Dr. Sherry Bumpus, Director of Nursing Operations at Eastern Michigan University, where classes are canceled through the end of the week and preparations are underway to start teaching online next Monday. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here today.
And thanks for being brave enough to come in studio with me.
That's okay. There's not many people here.
You have a binder full of information, and I understand that you are constantly or very frequently reading up on where we are with the coronavirus. So here we are on this quiet campus, not a lot of people around here at Eastern, a lot of other places. We're getting a lot of advice. Can you give us some perspective on just how concerned about this should we be?
Well, I think that there's a lot of information being given out to the public right now, and unfortunately, not all of the information is truthful. I think there's a website that everybody should be aware of, and that's the World Health Organization. They have a website on misinformation. So if you're hearing things that don't sound quite right, I would encourage you to go there so you can find out what's fact and what's fiction. That's the first thing. How concerned should we be? Well, I don't really think that we have seen a pandemic of this nature since 1918 in the country. And so we're all dealing with something that is new to us from that perspective. It is a very scary thing, and dealing with the unknown creates fear. But this is a virus, like many other viruses, like the influenza that we're all used to having, which still has many, many more cases than what we're seeing of coronavirus. So yes, we should be concerned, but we should be doing all of the things that we normally should do.
Speaking of fear, I think it's important to clarify that all these universities have closed down and all these activities are being canceled. Is that out of fear or is that out of prevention?
That's a wonderful question, and I hope that many of the listeners hear this today. A lot of that is driven by, all of that is driven by the health department in concert with the universities in making these decisions, and it's part of a containment, a mitigation plan, which means wherever possible, if we can decrease the congregation of people, then we will slow down the spread of this virus. Slowing down the spread gains healthcare providers time to adequately take care of patients.
I feel like we're breaking new ground here in all these moves that are being made and precautions that are being taken. And speaking of congregations, I'm thinking about church coming up on Sunday.
Certainly. These are all things that everybody should take into consideration, whether they want to be around more than 20 people at one time seems to be the number that keeps getting thrown out. Certainly, if you do choose to go to church, you might want to sit a little bit farther away from other people. You shouldn't be shaking hands or hugging one another. So you have to observe some of those rules, the words that we're throwing out, like social distancing.
Where did that come from?
So social distancing is a term that's used in public health and more often in epidemiology. It's used when we're trying to contain, or as I said earlier, mitigate the spread of a virus. Viruses are less likely to jump from one person to another if you put enough distance between people so they're not sharing the same air or spreading droplets between one another.
I would say you and I are sitting about 1, 2, 3 feet apart from each other. Are we social distancing enough?
Ideally, you should be about 6 feet apart. Seems to be the key number for the coronavirus.
And how does it spread?
Great question. The coronavirus is spread by droplets. So that's, you know, particles of the virus itself that can be inhaled as others cough or sneeze. We're not actually sure which bodily fluids, if I may say that on the air, are most contagious at this time. But certainly we know that respiratory secretions have some of the highest concentration.
And who's most at risk?
So the people most at risk are anybody over age of 60. Males seem to have a slightly higher, but that may be coming out of some of the data that we're seeing from China. Certainly anybody who is immune compromised, and that may include smokers over 60, and anybody who has multiple health conditions.
Can you speak to how testing is being done here in Michigan? For a while, people were getting very suspicious that we were not seeing any cases. Now we've seen a few. Does the number of available test kits have anything to do with that?
Certainly. I would love to say that Michigan is an isolated place and we've been doing a great job in limiting or having any cases. My suspicion, and I'll say that again, it's my hunch, so I'm not speaking from any evidence, is that we probably have more cases of the virus already in Michigan that we know. We can't really say how many cases we have if we're not looking for it. And until recently, we've been limited on the number of test kits that we've had in the state. So I would anticipate now that there are more test kits available, we will see the number in Michigan go up as we see it go up in other states as well.
And we never want to scare anyone or alarm anyone. I'm trying to present facts in a calm way, but we're coming up on the weekend. A lot of events, sporting events, concerts. UMS had to cancel all of their events. How do we say this? Should we go out? Are we okay to be in a social setting?
Certainly, at this point in time, if you want to go out and get groceries, get gasoline, things like that, you should feel safe to do that. I would recommend that you avoid people who are openly ill. If they're sneezing, you know, make sure you go the other way or that they're sneezing into their arm. But I would say if you're thinking about going to places where you're going to be sitting on top of one another, you may want to reconsider. So I would make your decision based on your health and also thinking about that social distancing, that sort of 6-foot rule. Do you think you can maintain that?
Nursing is a big program here at Eastern Michigan University. Might this be a learning opportunity for you and the students?
Oh, my goodness, yes. It's very difficult because, you know, we don't ever want to put anybody at risk, and also everybody's afraid right now. But we prepare, we do programs, emergency preparedness, disaster preparedness programs to help our students in a simulated environment learn how to manage these types of scenarios. And we do it interprofessionally with other disciplines on campus. And that helps prepare us for these, but actually living through something like this that we really haven't had to in our generation is the biggest learning experience an individual could have.
And I told you Dr. Sherry Bumpus has been doing a lot of research and boning up on information about coronavirus. And this is something that I have not heard about, the impact on pets. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. So the CDC does recommend that if you are positive for the coronavirus, that you might also distance yourself a little bit from your pet. Give them a few less kisses and hugs. Sorry, I know that's hard to do.
Right.
We love those little guys.
Yeah.
But we do know that pets have had the coronavirus in their swabs, in their testing. We have not seen animals ill from it yet, but the CDC has put out a recommendation for that.
You have a binder full of information there, keeping up on the latest about the coronavirus. What's your bottom line advice about this situation right now for our health?
The bottom line for our health is that we all need to make sure that we are keeping our bodies in the optimal condition to fight or ward off this virus. That means getting enough sleep, getting enough exercise, eating properly. If you have underlying health conditions, make sure that you're taking care of those so that your body is in the best shape to ward off catching this infection. That said, there are other things that you can do to prevent this as well. Make sure that you're washing your hands. You need to use soap and water. Wash for at least 20 seconds. Get in between those fingers really well. If you're going to cough, cough into your elbow. If you sneeze, throw your own tissues away and don't pick up other people's tissues.
Right.
If you do, wash your hands immediately. All of those types of things will help you, help prevent you from catching this infection.
So what can we tell people to stay calm and not panic?
I think we're seeing a lot of the same types of things that we see in states that have hurricanes. When they know a hurricane's coming, people are storing up and doing all these types of things. I think that people aren't exactly sure how to react.
Yeah, we don't know how to react. What should we do?
So the recommendation from the CDC is that everybody should have enough supplies in their home if they had to stay home for 14 days. So make sure that you've got some of those foods that have shelf life that you could prepare for 14 days. Maybe if you know your freezer, you can put some extra things in there. And I think the reason we see everybody at the big box retailers is for toilet paper. There are memes all over the internet toilet paper is like gold in an epidemic.
I've heard you should stock up on medications. There are more practical things that you should make sure that you have on hand for that time period.
So I would encourage people to make sure that they have at least a 2-week supply of their medication. So if they're getting their medicines every 30 or 34 days, if they're halfway through, they might call and see if they're allow them to get a refill sooner under these conditions. If they're getting a 90-day refill and they're coming up on that, they should go ahead and put that in at this time. But I would not encourage people to stockpile, because as we come into more cases in Michigan, we will need those medications to generally take care of the people who are ill. So get what you need, have a little supply, but don't stockpile where it may hurt others.
How will we know when it's over?
Wow, that's a great question. I think if we look at the maps all over the internet, they'll tell us when it's over. We'll know that it's over when we're having fewer cases in the hospital, that when we see the volume going down and we know that the people who have it are recovering.
Dr. Sherry Bumpus, Director of Nursing Operations for Eastern Michigan University, giving us a lot of good input and perspective here. Please come back whenever you have something else to share, because that is our goal here at WEMU, to keep our listeners as informed and aware as they can be.
Thank you very much for having me today.